reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 9, Verse 28. Well, first I'll read 26 because small purport. Shirastvam aratam nittam ajograham achiklapat yastu bhavani chankarakav avidhavati vairadi. Rao's head, having been touched by the nectar, became immortal. Thus Brahma accepted Rahu's head as one of the grahav, planets. Since Rahu is an eternal enemy of the moon and the sun, he always tries to attack the full moon on the nights of the full moon and dark moon. Prabhupada's purport. Since Rahu had become immortal, Brahma accepted him as one of the grahas, or planets, like the moon and the sun. Rahu, however, being an eternal enemy of the moon and sun, attacks them periodically during the nights of the full moon and dark moon. Text 27. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the best friend and well-wisher of the three worlds. When the demigods had almost finished drinking the nectar, the Lord, in the presence of all the demigods and demons, disclosed his original form. Text 28. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The place, the time, the cause, the purpose, the activity, and the ambition were all the same, both for the demigods and the demons. But the demigods achieved one result and the demons achieved another result. Because the demigods are always under the shelter of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet, they could very easily drink the nectar and get its result. The demons, however, not having sought shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, were unable to achieve the result they desired. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 11, Krishna says, Yeyatamam prapadyante tamstateva bhajam yaham. Krishna is the supreme judge who rewards or punishes different persons according to their surrender unto his lotus feet. Therefore, it can actually be seen that karmis and bhaktas may work in the same place and at the same time, with the same energy and with the same ambition, but they achieve different results. The karmis transmigrate through different bodies in the cycle of birth and death, sometimes going upward and sometimes going downward, thus suffering results of their actions in the karma chakra, the cycle of birth and death. Devotees, however, because of their fully surrendering at the lotus feet of Krishna, are never baffled in their attempts. Although externally, they are almost working like the karmis. The devotees, however, go back home, back to Godhead, and achieve success in every effort. The demons or the atheists have faith in their own endeavors, but although they work very hard day and night, they cannot get any more than their destiny. The devotees, however, can surpass the reactions of their karma and achieve wonderful results even without effort. It is also said, Phalena parichiyate, one's success or defeat in any activity is understood by its result. There are many karmis in the dress of devotees. There are many karmis in the dress of devotees. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead can detect their purpose. The karmis want to use the property of the Lord for their selfish sense gratification. But a devotee endeavors to use the Lord's property for God's service. Therefore, a devotee is always distinct from the karmis. although the karmis may dress like devotees. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, verse 9, Jagyartat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. One who works for Lord Vishnu is free from this material world. And after giving up his body, he goes back home, back to Godhead. A karmi, however, although externally working like a devotee, is entangled in his non-devotional activity. And thus, he suffers the tribulations of material existence. Thus, from the results achieved by the karmis and the devotees, one can understand the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who acts differently for the karmis and the jnanis than for the devotees. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita therefore states, Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Aita Eva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhikami Sakale Ashanta. The karmis who desire sense gratification, bhukti, the jnanis who aspire for liberation, mukti kamis or siddhi kamis, of merging into the existence of the Supreme, and the yogis who seek material success and mystic power are all restless, and ultimately they are baffled. But the devotee who does not expect any personal benefit and whose only ambition is to spread the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is blessed with all the auspicious results of bhakti yoga without useless hard labor. Om Ganatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Nidhitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Tvevasmi, Tvevasmi, Najivami, Tvayavina, Itivigyaya Devi, Tvam Nayamam, Charanam Tikam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhuntananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasri Gaur Bhaktarinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, Evam Sara Saragana Samadeshakala, Etvarta Karma Matayobi Pale Bikalpa, Tamritam Saragana Palama Anjasapur, Yatpada Panka Jaraja Shayanan Nadaitya. Beautiful verse. The time, the place, the cause, the purpose, the activity, and the ambition were all the same, both for the demigods and the demons. However, the demons achieve one result, and the demigods another. Because the demigods are always under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and they could very easily drink the nectar and get its result. The demons, however, not having sought shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, were unable to achieve the result they desired. The highest principle of religion, the topmost highest principle of religion, is to surrender fully at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. This is the sign of an intelligent man. If a person has developed intelligence, he'll realize the nature of reality, and that behind all the temporary expressions of this material reality, there is the eternal spiritual reality, the absolute truth. God is behind everything and behind everyone and above everything and above everyone. So the full expression of intelligence is seen when an individual living entity surrenders to God. Now the question is, why doesn't one surrender to God? Why doesn't everyone surrender to God? Krishna Prabhupada says in this purport, Yeyatamam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham. As you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. No surrender, no reward. The demigods didn't surrender. They got no reward. They got no amritam, no nectar. The demigods surrendered to Mohini Murti. They got the reward. So why doesn't a person surrender? Because of kam, lust. One does not surrender to Krishna because of lust. So in the mind of a lusty person, he has resentment. He resents God. consciously or unconsciously. Either he totally rejects the existence of God and rejects morality and the principles of Dharma and codes of religion and laws of God, totally rejects them as an outward, full-on atheist, or he, in a covered way, he rejects by his projection of his lust. He simply, yes, God is there anyway, let him be there. Let him stay there and I'll stay here. Let me carry on. I won't bother him and he won't bother me. So they're not, you could say, it's not an outright dyed-in-the-wool atheist. It's what you call agnostic. Agnostic. Of course, this word agnostic comes from the Greek word gnosis. Gnosis means to know, to have knowledge. And agnosis means to have no knowledge. To be without knowledge. Like we say gyan and agyan. Right? Vidya, avidya. Vidya means knowledge. And avidya means known without knowledge or ignorance. The opposite of knowledge is ignorance. The opposite of light is darkness. So agnostic is a person basically who is in ignorance. So he doesn't know about God. He's not sure. Maybe he exists, maybe he doesn't. Therefore he's agnostic. No knowledge. At any rate, due to lust for material enjoyment and intense lust within the mind, we resent the idea, the living entity, the conditioned soul, he resents the idea of submission to the Lord. And due to this resentment, he resents the idea of surrender. What? Surrender to God? Become God's servant? What? I don't need that. I'm intelligent, I'm powerful, I'm educated and learned. I don't need him. Why should I bother him? I don't need him. I'm carrying on quite all right. I have a good family. My father's wealthy. Everything's nice. Going wonderfully. My plans are working one by one. My stocks are making profit. My children are number one in school. What do I need God for? No need to surrender. Because the idea of surrender is, oh, maybe I have to submit myself to a supreme or become submissive to an authority. So due to lust for enjoyment, we resent the idea. So because of that resentment, it creates a cloud of illusion. It creates a cloud of illusion within the mind which covers the original light of the soul. The original light of the soul is covered by lust. It says this lust, it just puts out the fire of transcendental knowledge. It diminishes it. So this resentment is like a dark cloud. It's a dark cloud. Resentment is like a dark cloud in the mind, which covers the light of spiritual knowledge. So of course, lust, when we're lusty, we forget everything. Krishna explains that progression, how one goes from awareness to unconsciousness, how one goes from knowledge to ignorance, how one goes from material life, or you can say human life, into animal life. Krishna explains the psychological progression in Bhagavad Gita. Dayato vishyam pumsam. He explains in chapter 2, from contemplation of the objects, you contemplate, you think about, you meditate, you look at, you consider, you weigh, you value, you judge the objects of the material senses. Oh, nice sound, nice sight, nice taste. And you think over and over again about them and you become attached. Raga, attachment, rati. And then from attachment, lust develops. First the mind gets attached to an object. First the mind reaches out. The mind reaches out. The mind has 10 hands. Or you can say the mind has 5 hands. The mind has 5 hands represented by the 5 senses. So the mind gets attached and it reaches out through the mind reaches out through the senses and grabs onto something. The hands of the eyes grab onto the objects of vision. The hands of the ears grab onto the objects of sound. And the hands of the nose grab onto the objects of smell. And the hands of the tongue grab onto the objects of taste. And they hold very tightly. It's mine. These are my objects. I'm the enjoyer. Ishvara aham aham bhogi saraham balavan suki. Ishvara aham aham bhogi. I am the enjoyer. So the mind reaches out. First the mind reaches out and grabs it. I must have it. I see that. I want to see it more closely. I hear that. I want to hear it more closely. Hey, that's a nice tune. Hey, what tape is that? Hey, that's so-and-so, you know, so-and-so from Bombay. It's his new tape. Hey, that's a good tune. My ears have reached out and grabbed it. Let me buy that one. So in this way, Maya is enticing us. Maya is attracting us. So then attachment. First the mind grabs onto the objects. Then the senses hold them. And then once the mind and senses hold the objects, you can't let go. It's impossible. The mind is holding first and then the senses grab them. So here, enjoy. Then it's a tight bondage. Contemplation, attachment, then lust. Then, as lust goes on, it creates illusion. It fills one with illusion. The more you try to enjoy the world, you get so much enjoyment and you get so much frustration because sometimes you can't catch the things that you want. You can't hold on to the things that you want. So then you get frustrated. And in frustration, you become bewildered. And in bewilderment, you lose your intelligence and memory is lost. Smriti Brahmsha, Smriti Brahma. Your memory becomes bewildered. And pranashtati, then it says, Krishna says, pranashtati, prananash. This verse says, then you're lost. You become lost. Prananash means you're, nash means you're finished, your prana, your life. So this is the problem. The materialist, he is so lusty that for him to consider the idea of surrendering to God is impossible. So that's why Prabhupada is warning us, don't be a karmi in devotee's clothing. And something, there's something it's told here. There's something it's told here. Kala Desha Patra. Everything looks the same. Devotee's in the office. He's working. He's wearing clothes. He's in the office. The place is, the kala is the same. The desha is the same. The patra, the circumstance, everything's the same. But what's the difference? The difference is the inside, the mentality. Instead of having kama mana, he has seva mana. Instead of having a mind full of lust, he has a mind full of seva. I'm doing this for Krishna. I'm working for Krishna, for Guru. Just like what we used to sell books in the airport. And of course, when you're selling books, people are sitting there waiting for their airplanes. If you ever went in the terminal, so many seats are there, they're waiting. So devotees would be moving around there like little honeybees going from flower to flower, meeting each person and opening the flower of their heart. And taking out that desire to serve Krishna and giving them a book. So the devotees like little bees going around. So you could imagine, imagine if you were sitting in a Delhi airport and everyone's sitting down doing the same thing, waiting for the plane. Everyone's bored, passing the time. And all of a sudden somebody walks in, big smile on his face, he's beaming. He's got some big bag that goes out like this on the side of his hip. He's got 50 Bhagavatams in it and little skinny guy is going along and he's going from person to person shaking hands, hello sir, and he's taking something out of his bag and he's giving it to that person, a book. And you're watching. Hey, what's going on? What's this? Because everyone watches what's the new thing? Oh, here's the new thing in the waiting lounge of the airport. A devotee distributing a book. So everyone, 300 people are watching you. Everyone, the whole waiting lounge, the whole jumbo 747, 500 people, they're all watching you distribute books. And you could care less. Because you're like Arjuna, you only see the eye of the fish. And sometimes a person even says to you, he says, you know, everyone's looking at you, you're talking to the person, everyone's watching us. And don't worry about it. So the point is that the devotees are doing the same activities that the karmis are. Everyone's watching you sell these books. So many times some big businessman come and say, excuse me, my name is Mr. So-and-so. I'm with Encyclopedia Britannica. I'm with the World Book. I'm with Times Books. I'm with So-and-so Books. I'm with Harper and Mark. I'm with Harper and Row. I'm with Doubleday. And I'm with Oxford Books. Oh, hello. What's your name? My name is Mr. Swami. He said, I've been watching you sell these books. You're fantastic. I'll give you a job in my company. I've never seen anybody. You go up to a total stranger, you give him a book and you walk away with $20. And the book is written in a language he can't read. It's Sanskrit. He can't even read it. And yet he's paying $20 for it. You're gonna be a big success. Come in my company. Here's my card. I used to collect so many cards. Doubleday Books, Random House, Oxford Books, this one, that one, Encyclopedia Britannica. They all wanted me offer me a job. I said, look, we'll start you out at $20,000 a year, and I guarantee that you'll go up fast. I said, and they said, how much are you getting paid? You make $500 a day, $1,000 a day? I said, no, not much. Now, how much? Don't be shy. It's okay. You know, no, I don't get much. How much you get? I get 4 chapatis, 1 cup of milk, and 400 grams of sabji. What? So, the devotees are doing the same activities. We're also selling books. And the karmis, they also go and sell books. They go door to door. I would oftentimes, I'd go door to door in apartments on Saturday. And that's exactly what encyclopedia people do too. They go door to door. And they knock on the door and they go in and try to sell encyclopedia. It's a big bunch of... Jai Parthasarathi. So we're doing the same thing, but they're doing it for money. But we're doing it for Krishna. So we look the same, we're going door to door, we're selling books, they're selling books, the same apartment building, the same people. But the motivation is different, the mentality. So the devotee has to always check his mentality. My body may be engaged in service, it may look like I'm a devotee, I'm dressed as a devotee, I'm engaged in service, but what is my mentality? What is my motivation? Because that's the difference between a suragana and asuragana. Suragana has a devotional mind, a surrendered mind. And asuragana, one who is a non-devotee, he's thinking, I'm dressed as a devotee so I can get a job at the Hare Krishna temple. It's a job. You work for Tata, you work for Bank of America, you work for State Bank of India. I work for ISKCON. You wear a pandan shirt, I wear tilak and dhoti. But your mentality is, let me get something from my job. Let me get something from my boss. Let me get something for me and my family and my wife and my kids. So I also have the same mentality you have. I think, let me get something for me, from my boss, Mr. ISKCON. You know, the ISKCON. Let me get something for me. Let me get some sense gratification. Let me get some enjoyment. So my mentality is the same as the karmis. That's why, who is Prabhupada talking about on the purport? Sometimes, when you read this, hey, wait a minute, who's he talking about? Prabhupada said, I'm writing these books for you. These books are written for Prabhupada's disciples. They're not written for somebody in the airlines or something. This is for devotees. So he says here that several times he reminds us, although the karmis may dress like devotees, there are many karmis in the dress of devotees, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can detect their purpose. There are many karmis. Karmis means you have the mentality of me and mine, aham mameti. I am this body, this is my family, this is my country, everything is for me, mine. It's called mamata, misplaced mamata. Radharani also has mamata. Mamata. But her mamata is, Krishna is mine. Krishna is mine. He is my everything. She controls Krishna. Whereas Chandravali, she can't have mamata. This one girl here named Mamata, she makes garlands for Giriraj. Mamata or mamata. So Chandravali can't have this consciousness of mamata. She can only think, she thinks, I am Krishna's. And maybe if I'm lucky, Krishna may come to see me. I may have his darshan. I may get a chance to serve him if I'm very lucky. But Radharani, she never thinks like that. She thinks, Krishna is mine. If I say sit down, Krishna sits down. If I say stand up, Krishna stands up. If I say, Krishna, oh, I'm tired, please carry me, he carries me. If I say, Krishna, please decorate my feet, he decorates my feet. Krishna, please paint some makar on my cheeks. Then he paints some makar on my cheeks. Oh, Krishna, my hair is disarrayed. Please brush my hair. So in Sringharbat, on the bank of the Jamuna, Krishna was brushing Radharani's hair and putting flowers inside her bani. So Radharani fully controls Krishna, and Radharani alone can say mamata. So aham mameti, for the materialist, is mine. This world is mine for my enjoyment and my pleasure. But that's not surrender. A devotee has a different idea. A devotee thinks, actually, one thing about Kali Yuga, because this verse is about surrender. The demigods were surrendered to Krishna. They took shelter of him, they surrendered to him, and they were protected, and they got the nectar. But the demons and non-devotees are not surrendered to Krishna, so they don't get the nectar. They get repeated birth and death, which is certainly a poisonous proposal. There's nothing sweet about old age. There's nothing sweet about disease. And there's nothing sweet about death. It's bitter. It's very bitter and fearful. But that is the situation. Those are the rewards that the non-devotee is waiting to receive. The Kala Chakra, as Prabhupada mentions, this is the Karma Chakra, the cycle of birth and death. But the devotee is free from that because he surrenders to Krishna. This is his life. His life is one of surrender. And it begins with the first day when a devotee realizes, when he has intelligence and he realizes, my efforts to be successful in this world will be frustrated. And this world itself is also temporary. So my dear Lord Krishna, I am very fallen. I mean, the day the devotee says this, the day that the living entity approaches the Supreme Lord, he approaches Krishna, or God, and he says, "My dear Lord, I am very sinful and fallen, and I am most unqualified. I am most unqualified and very sinful and fallen, but please, I'm taking shelter of you. From this day forward, I will surrender to you unequivocally. I want to, whatever I have, whatever I possess, whatever I have in my possession, my body, my words, my relatives, my riches, whatever I have, from this day on, I offer it to you for your pleasure. I surrender to you. Please pick me up. Please pick me up and protect me and accept me as your servant." If someone sincerely surrenders like that and speaks like that before the Lord, this is called Sharanagati. This is called Atmanivedanam. We're supposed to come to this point. Not only we just surrender our body, but we surrender everything. That's why first Shravanam. On one side, negative 1000 is a principle called Shravanam. We hear about spiritual identity. We hear about Sharanagati. And then when we get to positive, on the positive side of numbers, the positive 1000, we come to the final point. The final conclusive point is Atmanivedanam. It's the ninth principle of bhakti, Navavidya bhakti. The ninth final goal, the nine steps to perfection. So the ninth one is Atmanivedanam. So this prayer is a prayer of Sharanagati, Samarpanam. Samarpanam, I surrender myself. So if one does that, then Krishna will deem that that living entity is qualified to receive my mercy. He will give his mercy and give his protection. And he'll take that person and he'll deliver him, take him back home and deliver him to the spiritual world. Krishna says that my devotee never perishes. Krishna says, I am the swift deliverer. I personally deliver the devotee from the ocean of birth and death if he surrenders. So surrender is something that we each have to increase more and more and more. Yayatamam, Prabhupada quotes the verse, Yayatamam Prapadyante. This implies a percentage. It implies a proportion. Krishna says, as you surrender, I reciprocate. So what is the symptom of a surrendered soul? What is the sign that someone has surrendered to Krishna? There should be three things. There should be three things awakening within him. There should be three things growing within him. What are the three signs that someone is surrendered? I don't mean your body is running around washing the temple. You may do that for 1,000 lifetimes if your mind is not in a mood of submission and surrender. So the three symptoms that one is surrendering is that he's becoming devoted. He's developing devotion. Right? Devotion, bhakti. And he's developing detachment. Real detachment. Detachment from this body. Detachment from this world. Detachment from all these things. Devotion, detachment. And what's the other symptom that you're actually surrendering to Krishna? Direct experience of the Lord. Direct experience of Krishna. If you're not experiencing Krishna in some place, in his deity, in his holy name, in his philosophy, in his holy dham, in the core of your heart, then you're not surrendering. If devotion is not growing within you, and love for devotees, and devotion for, and love for Krishna, then you're not surrendering. If detachment is not growing within you, you're not surrendering. These are the three symptoms. Devotion, direct experience of the Lord, and detachment. And the Bhagavatam compares this to a hungry man. When a hungry man, he's very hungry, then he gets food. By the process of eating food, first thing he gets is satisfaction of his hunger. So his hunger is gone. And then he gets relief from his hunger. Relief from his hunger. Then he gets satisfaction and he gets nourishment. So this is the analogy that a devotee who surrenders to the Lord, he gets the same thing. His bhakti is equivalent to tushti. Tushti means satisfaction. That when you develop love for Krishna and bhakti, you feel satisfied. Krishna explains. He says in the Bhagavad Gita, Machita matkata prana bodhayantas parasparam katayantas chamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. This is one of the nutshell verses in the Bhagavatam, 10th chapter of the nutshell verses of the Bhagavad Gita, and the 10th chapter, 10:9, I believe. Machita matkata pranam bodhyantas parasparam katayantas tamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. So tushyanti cha means that by Krishna kata, that machita matkata prana, the devotee, his chit shakti. What is a chit shakti? That is the atma. That is the soul. When you hear Krishna kata, you become alive. Jeev jago, jeev jago, gora chanda vole. Kota nidra jao maya visa chira kole. So you become alive when you Krishna kata, and then you become alive, then you get tushyanti cha, ramanti, very, very blissful, joyful, satisfaction. So bhakti, one who's surrendering, he gets bhakti, which is equivalent to tushti, or satisfaction, devotion. And then he gets nourishment. Then he gets vairagya, which is equivalent to being free from hunger. The hungry man eats food, he gets free from hunger. So as a person surrenders to Krishna, he gets detached. That's his freedom from the hunger. The freedom from hunger equals detachment from maya. So these are the symptoms of one who's surrendering. So what are the six processes of surrender? How do we increase our surrender? We understood something about why we're not surrendering, because we resent the idea. We resent the idea due to lust in our mind. And then that creates a cloud. When we resent the idea of submission, because this happens in the lives of devotees. I don't know if you understand the word resentment in Hindi, but this is a very important word. This is the word the acharyas use. That in the lives of, we're talking about devotees, in the lives of a devotee, at one point he surrendered. Then after some time, due to the increase of material lust in his heart and mind, because he's improperly performing bhakti, due to whatever insincerity, there creates this resentment in the mind. He resents the idea of submission. He resents the idea of submission to Krishna and Guru. In the beginning, when Guru says, do this, yes Guru, do that, yes Guru, do this, yes Guru. Then after 5 years, Krishnadas, can you do this? Well, Gurudev, let's talk about this. Krishnadas, can you do that? Well, thing is, Gurudev, let's talk about this. We have to discuss this. Because if lust has grown in the heart, he's lost the submission. He's lost the surrendered mood. He becomes resentful. He resents it. I don't want to surrender. I don't want to submit myself. The temple president comes, please, you do this. No, get lost. Now you see new bhaktas often show a veneer of surrender. Yes, Prabhu, yes, Prabhu, yes, Prabhu. And they're just doing that because, wait till I get my tag. When I get my little tag that says Das, then forget it, man. No more surrender. Okay, I got initiated. Okay, now I'm Krishnadas. Krishnadas, can you do some service? Oh no, not now. I'm Krishnadas. I don't have. That's for the bhaktas. Go get a bhakta to do it. Get one of the bhaktas to do the service, because they're the surrendered ones, not me. I've got my eyes on something else. I'm busy right now. I got my eyes on Brahman, because then I'll be locked up inside there, and nobody can get me. I'll be locked up inside there in a deity room, and nobody can ask me to do anything then, because then I'm a pujari. Maha mega pujari. Now I'm Brahman. Nobody can ask me to do anything. Now I've attained the final position of enjoyment. Now I am the Ishvara of the temple. I'm a pujari. So this is lust in the mind. We resent the idea of submission. And as we mentioned, the acharyas give a beautiful analogy. When you, because of lust appears in the mind, you develop a resentment to submit yourself to Guru and Krishna. And that creates a cloud of illusion. A big cloud, big dark cloud of illusion fills your mind and puts out and extinguishes the light of spiritual knowledge. The light of spiritual knowledge which brought you to the lotus feet of Guru. The light of spiritual knowledge which illuminated the path of your life and brought you to surrender to Krishna. Way back when you were a new bhakta. But now you're living under the dark cloud of illusion that I'm a big dasa and a big pujari, big Brahman. This is a problem. So, and then we understood something about the results, how if one is surrendered, there should be something of manifesting these three qualities. Now, how does one develop surrender? Rupa Goswami explains in Nectar Devotion, there are six symptoms. Accept everything favorable for devotional service, and reject everything unfavorable for devotional service. And always feel oneself dependent on the Lord. Always feel oneself dependent. Always be meek and humble before the Lord. And even if you have the power, Even if you have the power and the ability to do something independently on your own because you have some, you have accumulated some knowledge or a few feathers in your tail. It's a borrowed plumes, they say. You've accumulated a few talents or skills. Still you feel, Krishna, I can't do anything without your help, without your sanction, without your blessings. Even though I'm a big this and a big that, actually I'm a big nothing. In this way, Rupa Goswami explains the six symptoms of surrender. So we have to cultivate surrender more and more. This is the mood of a devotee. He's always surrendering, and he has to check himself to see. And there's three categories that should be increasing. Just like in terms of this verse, it talks about sometimes karmis try to, a person has a karmic mentality, has a karma mentality, but he thinks, well, maybe I'll be a devotee. So Prabhupada says in other purports, he often discusses this idea of wolves in sheep's clothing. A wolf means a wild dog. It's called a wolf in English. A very fierce type of wild dog lives in the mountains. It's called a wolf. W-O-L-F, wolf. So it's a disguise. Sometimes a wolf, he disguises himself as a sheep. And he goes among the sheep, and everyone thinks, oh, there's a little sheep, like a little goat. Oh, there's another goat. And then he gets real close to the other sheep because he's disguised. But his motivation, although he looks like a sheep outside, his motivation is to eat the sheep. Because he's a wolf, and they're carnivores. So he gets an old sheepskin, an old dead sheepskin, puts it over. And he goes next to it, and then catches a wolf and eats it. So it's a phrase we have in English. Your motivation is covered. Yes, I'm a devotee, paka devotee, kanti mala, tilak, everything. But inside, you're a wolf. Outside, oh, I'm very humble. But inside, I just want to get inside ISKCON to get a husband, or to get money. Or, like ladies come here. They come here, oh yeah, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. See, look at me, I'm an enthusiastic devotee. The brahmachari says, wow, look at that, enthusiastic brahmacharini. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And she's thinking, Krishna, please send me a husband. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, please send me a husband. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, please send me a husband. So, or the devotee comes, hey, look at these ISKCON devotees. I'm here working in a deli, and all I have is a beat up bicycle. And my friend, he joined ISKCON. He's driving a big Maruti now, AC. And I met him. I said, what did you do? He says, hey, I'm in life membership department. I forget it. I quit my job. I'm going to move into ISKCON, make some money. Get myself a car, some fancy clothes, nice suitcase, gold watch. It's true. So many places in purports, Prabhupada says that he alludes to this conception of a fake devotee. So one purport he says, sometimes materialistic people join ISKCON. He's very direct in this one. Sometimes materialistic people, they adopt the dress of a Vaishnava and join ISKCON. But when their materialistic purposes are fulfilled, then they leave. Such a nice purport, really nice. So they say, oh yeah, it's a good thing here, I'll become a devotee, okay, got it down. Then you join the life membership department, you go out with Radha Damodar, he trains you how to do everything properly and how to preach to people. Then after a few years you think, hey, I don't need ISKCON, I don't need guru, I'll just leave, I'll print up my own little receipt books, and just go around and do the same thing and keep everything for myself. And it goes on. Right here in this city. And sometimes they get caught. But anyway. So this is called karmi, dressed as a devotee. So we shouldn't do like that. Because that means you stay in the material world. The beautiful thing about Kali Yuga is such a pathetic age. It's such a pathetic and disgusting and lousy age. Kaler doshe nathera jan astiyeka mahagunan. Kirtana Deva Krishna Siya Mukta Sangha Baram Virjet. It's full of doshas, it's full of everything bad. Pollution, alienation, exploitation, drugs, everything, pornography, everything bad and disgusting and vile and low and dirty, filthy. There's Eka Mahagunan, there's one good thing. Simply you surrender to the holy name of Krishna, Krishna Kirtan, and you can get liberation. You can get out of this Kala Chakra, out of this Samsara Chakra, by surrendering to the holy name. And that's where we have to pour. We have to pour our surrender more and more at the lotus feet of the holy name. Oh, Sri Nam Prabhu. So many acharyas have prayers to the Nam Prabhu. The Prabhu is a master. The holy name is our master, is our friend, is our guide. It is Krishna. Krishna is his holy name. Oh Sri Nam Prabhu, please accept me, please elevate me, please purify me. I surrender absolutely and unequivocally and totally at your lotus feet. I am your servant, please protect me. And it's explained in the 11th canto that if you run down the path of bhakti, if you run down the path of bhakti with your eyes closed, you run down the path with your eyes closed, you will not trip and you will not fall. But you will attain the desire, you will attain the destination, you will attain the goal. Even if you run down the path blindfolded and with your eyes closed, you will not fall off the path. That's how powerful and beautiful the path of bhakti is. Because Prabhupada mentions that in this purport. He says that the yogis, because he's talking about the bhukti mukti siddhi kami atideva sakala yashanta. He says the yogis depend on their own determination. My endeavor, my determination, my surrender. My determination, my endeavor. The yogis depend on that. But the devotee is not like that. He surrenders to Krishna. He depends on Krishna. Krishna, I'm throwing my hands up. I depend on you. Just like Draupadi. When Draupadi, she was holding on to her sari. Old story, we've heard 1,000 times. Now here's 1,001st time. But why is the story always told? Because we're not learning the lesson. If you learn a lesson, the teacher doesn't tell you the same story. A story is for a lesson. And when a lesson is learned, then the teacher retires that story and he tells you some other stories for some other lessons. Isn't it right? You know, in school. So we have to hear this story again because we haven't learned the lesson. Draupadi was in the assembly house, and Dushyant and Shakuni, and everyone's trying to take all her clothes off. So she's holding on with one hand. She's saying, hey Bhagavan, holding onto her sari very tightly with her own strength, her own determination, her own endeavor. She was trying. She said, hey Bhagavan, hey Vishnu, hey Narayan. Sri Krishna Govinda Hare Murari, hey Nata Narayana Vasudeva. So she's crying. And in Vaikuntha, Narayan is sitting there, he's eating kachori, rubbery, some sabji, some ladu, some... And Lakshmi Devi, she comes and says, hey Prabhu, my sister's crying. My sister's in trouble. Draupadi's crying, don't you see? You know, you're everywhere, super soul, don't you see? Tune in on channel 99, see what's going on. You know, you're Star TV, look in Delhi channel. See what's going on there. You're the Paramatma, you can see clearly. You know, he has Star TV for the whole universe. Star TV for everyone's heart, he knows everything. You can just tune in your TV channel and see what you're doing. So he says, yeah, TK. He just keeps eating his sabji puri, enjoying. And then, so then, Draupadi goes back in the living room and she turns on and watches, Lakshmi goes back and she watches Draupadi's on the TV. So she's watching. And still they're trying, and Draupadi's, hey Bhagavan. And then Lakshmi runs in again to the dining room. Hey, Vishnu, look, I just went back. She's still in trouble. She's in big trouble now. She's sweating, she's perspiring, her flowers have fallen out of her hair, her makeup is running down, her kajal is running down her eyes, she's crying, she's heaving and breathing so heavily, she's losing all her strength, she can't hold on anymore. You have to do something, come on! She's pulling out his arm, do something! He says, not now, the time is not right, I'm busy. He just keeps eating, enjoying himself. So then, meanwhile, back in the assembly hall, and Draupadi's there, she's holding on, then she comes to this point, oh, there's nothing, I can't hold on anymore. My strength is limited, I don't have any more strength to hold on to my sari. My personal endeavor it won't work anymore. All my plans, all my efforts, all my work to be successful and to prevent this disaster, I can't hold on anymore. There's nothing left for me to do but to surrender. Fully surrendered to Vishnu. So then she took that hand off, and that hand joined the other hand, because the other hand was already raised in the air, saying, hey Bhagavan. And then with both hands over her head, then she cried out, hey Bhagavan, hey Vishnu, hey Narayan, help! And at that time, immediately at that second, Narayan just dropped his kachoris and ran down there in a second, in 1 second, and this gave thousands and millions of meters of sari to protect his surrendered devotee. Yeyatam mam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajam yaham. If you fully surrender to Krishna, then he fully surrenders. If you give a little bit to Krishna, he gives a little bit. So when Draupadi fully surrendered, she was trying to hold on. Oh, a little bit for Krishna, but I have some power. I a little surrender to Krishna, but I can hold on. I'm strong. I'm a queen. I'm a Kshatriya. I'm strong. I can hold on. I don't need Krishna so much. Hey, Bhagavan, maybe you can help me. You know, it's a little bit hard, but when it became a helpless, when she became in a helpless situation, a precarious situation, when it was clear and obvious to her that she had no other choice, either to be totally defamed and totally shamed in the public assembly by being stripped naked, when she got to that point of realization, then she said, the only thing left for me is total surrender. So, that is, we should come to that intelligent realization that there's nothing left for me to hold on to. There's nothing left to protect me. There's no other shelter in this world but the holy name of the Lord, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays. We must come to this realization. Then only at that point can we really surrender to Krishna. When we realize that I can't hold on anymore. I have no more shelter in this world. There's nothing to protect me. There's nothing to hold on to except Krishna. Then when we can surrender fully to Krishna, He will give Himself fully to us. And as we surrender more and more, devotion grows in our heart, detachment grows in our mind and senses, and direct experience of the Lord becomes our birthright, becomes the gift of surrender. We receive a great treasure when we surrender because we receive Krishna, the lotus feet of Krishna and the lotus face of Krishna. If we want that, if we see that the jewel, the gem, the treasure of receiving Krishna's darshan and His eternal service in the spiritual world is worthwhile, then we should be strong enough and have enough determination to absolutely and fully surrender at the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. Well, that's the point. The demigods, sometimes they surrender to Krishna when it looks like it's a good idea, and sometimes they don't. That's why they're stuck in Swarga and they're not down here in ISKCON. In the fifth canto, Prabhupada says the demigods are waiting in line. Indra and the rest of his gang, they're all waiting in line to take birth in Delhi in ISKCON. His Yadavendra, he came down. Tungavidya's son, he was up there in Indraloka. He said, look, I'm tired. I'm going to ISKCON. I'm tired of this sometimes. I'm tired of calling out to Krishna when the demons attack our door. The demigods enjoy, like they say, they're enjoying the fruits of their karma. They earned it by their tapasya in previous lives. So now they're living it up. But then the demigods start battering the door. Boom! I mean, the demons start battering the door to knock them off. They go, oh! Hey, guess what? Who's at the front door? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare. Then they start praying to Krishna, please help us, man. The demons are attacking us. And Krishna Narayan says, oh no, here we go again. These guys are always calling out for me. They have there's a phrase in English, it's a Bengali statement actually, but I heard the English Prabhupada said. He said that most people, they pray to God when they're in trouble. Right? We say there are four kinds of people approach God, right? Chaturvidam, Vajradimam. So most people, they pray to God when they're in trouble. Oh, God, the demons are attacking. Oh, Krishna, oh, Narayan. Oh, hey, Narayan. Hey, Bhagavan, you're this, you're that, you're this and that, and this and that and that. And so many prayers by the demigods. When do the demigods offer prayers? When they're in trouble. When they're not in trouble, it's like Nandakanandan, Haribo, Samaras, you know. They're enjoying, you know. They could care less about Vishnu. But when they're in trouble... So many stutis and strochers are coming out like AK-47. They're just shooting out prayers like anything. So the phrase is, most people pray to God when they're in trouble. But if you pray to God when you're not in trouble, you will not get into trouble. This is the phrase. This is Bengali, Prabhupada said one. So most people, oh, I'm in trouble, I pray to God. But if you pray to God when you're not having any trouble, if you pray to God at that time, then you never will have any trouble. So that's the life of a devotee. He surrenders all the time, in good times and bad times and happy times and sad times. He's always surrendered to God. And he's always praying to God. That is his life. His life is a constant prayer to God. His life is constant submission. He is made of submission. He is made of surrender. His every movement is a prayer. One devotee told me, he said, Maharaj, you know why I go out on Sankirtan, on book distribution? And I said, why? Or why? He said, I go out on Sankirtan, on book distribution, to pray. To pray to Krishna. Because it puts me in such a helpless position. That engagement of going out into the streets or going to an airport with thousands of people all by myself, it puts me in such a colonization of, you know, circumstance and position and time that I have, there's no other thing I can do but surrender to Krishna. I have to surrender. So I go out there to pray to Krishna. I go out on Sankirtan because it gives me an opportunity to pray non-stop for 8 hours, because I have to be out there for 8 hours, to pray to Krishna for 8 hours. Please help me, Krishna. Please protect me. Please inspire me. Please empower me. Please make this person stop. Please give me the words to say so I can touch their heart when I preach to them. Please make them surrender and give some donation for this book. Krishna, please make them read this book. It's just constant praying. Krishna, please empower me. Free me from false ego. Don't let me get attached to results and think, oh, if I distribute so many books, I'll become number one. Let me get free. Let me just purify myself. And please, let me, through this service, let me become pure. You're a pure devotee. Your instrument. Namitta matram. Namitta matram. Be an instrument. Let me just be an instrument in your hands and your will to spread this Sankirtan mission without any ambition for adoration or distinction. I'm just let me. So like that. So all day long, this devotee is just praying and praying and praying. So when he comes back, how do you think he feels? Whether he sold one book, whether he sold 100 books, he's in ecstasy. Because the whole day he was just praying. So that's why he liked that service, because it was such a demanding, such a challenging, such a difficult service to go out and distribute Prabhupada's books. So we want that. We want to be in a position where we have to surrender. Because if we take the easy life of Krishna consciousness, that means many, many easy lives of Krishna consciousness before we go back to Godhead. But if you turn on the gas, and you turn on, because Krishna says, you surrender unto me 10%, then I give you 10%. Krishna Loka, the spiritual world, is made of 100% surrender. If you surrender 10%, you won't go there. If you surrender 50%, you won't go to Vrindavan, Braja Gokul. You surrender 100%, that's the entrance fee. That's the entrance fee, 100% submission, 100% surrender. That's required. In New York in 1966, Srila Prabhupada said one time, we heard on a tape, we weren't there. He said, if you have one desire for a Hershey's chocolate bar, this is a big chocolate, you have Cadbury's or something. If you have one desire for a Cadbury's chocolate bar, then you have to get one material body to eat it. To eat your chocolate bar. So you have to become free from material desire. Only one desire, to love Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.